Howdy, my friend.
Ms. Arielle Fuller, you're the friend I would bring a friend anywhere.
Oh, well, it's a Mrs. now, isn't it?
Oh, that's
isn't
that true. Ms.
You say Ms.?
I think Ms. I said Ms. I'm still a Ms.
Oh, you can be Ms.?
I've been...
What are the rules with that? I don't know.
I think the rule is I don't need to tell you if I'm married or not. I'm Ms.
Boom. I think... Oh, wait, there's Miss.
Miss and then is old-fashioned, like I'm single. Mrs. is, okay. In my opinion, sort of old-fashioned, like I'm married, I belong to someone, because it's usually Mrs. John Brown or whatever. I don't need to be Mrs. John Brown. So wow. I'm Ms. I'm Ms. Ann Devereaux Mills. That's probably why they named Ms. Magazine
Intrigue.
Back in the Gloria Steinem days, Ms., as if to say, yeah. we are our own selves.
It's the feminist prefix. Woo-woo.
It is.
I like it.
It is.
Okay. All right. So never mind. I take it back. Ms. I feel the same. I would bring you anywhere and I would tell you anything. And
good.
Actually,
what you got to tell me?
I do have a crazy update for you. Well, I don't know if it's that crazy. It's probably extremely normal, but I'm finding it very crazy because of how little I know about this process, which is I have been on birth control since I was 14 years old. Never missed a day. As you know,
I know I'm because your alarm goes off
it.
All the time.
And I had a great experience. I never had issues. So I just stayed on the same exact one since I was 14. I'm 30 now. And I wanted to come off it, just not for the reason that most people come off it, but because I just wanted to like be in my adult woman body, like
yep.
natural.
And see what your body
natural.
Actually is doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And just right. see like what's it like, because I honestly don't even think I was fully like woman mode yet when I started. So it's been so interesting. It's only been like a couple of weeks, but it's like I'm reading all this content, and I don't know about you, but whenever something happens in your life, like the algorithms online then like produce
yeah.
all the content, right? So TikTok yep. and Instagram are all over the place with hormones. And I'm getting so much information that I never, ever knew. And I'm kind of like, why did I not know this back when I started or just at
well,
any point
14
in the
is
decades
young.
That I was on it?
Yeah.
I know, but like I never learned about it and none of my friends know about it either. So I'm like, I'm scared. Now every time I have like a sensation in like my arm, I'm like, oh my God, something's wrong with my hormones. or my body. Like I've had this issue that hormones fix and I should go back on birth control immediately. And it's very weird.
It is very weird. It is weird. And I have the opposite experience because I had cervical cancer when I was 41, had to have a hysterectomy. So it's been 20 years since I've had really, I haven't had my period. I don't have huge swings because my ovaries just kind of, which they left in, kind of shriveled up to raisins. And, you know, I don't have any sort of
wow.
swings, or I have plenty of aches and pains, but they probably have more to do with the aging process than with hormones. So you and I are hitting it at opposite ends of the
yes.
hormonal spectrum.
100%.
You know, I think you're real. I think what you're tapping into, though, is a huge trend and a huge interest right now. I
yeah.
know when I talk to my daughters, when I talk to their friends, I think everybody who's sort of a late 20 something to a, God knows, you know, 40 something, and wants to know what their body is really like without, you know, different stuff being added, is trying to figure
yeah.
it out at this moment. God, I didn't even know what my real hair color was until I was like 40, because I'd been coloring it since
what?
I used sun in at 12 years old. I'm like, wow, I'm not really blonde. I'm really kind of dirty, yucky brown. No wonder I colored my hair.
No, I love your hair.
Well, because you still
no,
haven't seen it. It's still colored.
I think you're totally right. And we're definitely in this moment where, at least, you know, in my generation, and I think really all of them who are paying attention to their health, we're wanting to take control and like be our own advocates and like really pull the levers that we are in control of when it comes to our health and like our baseline and just measuring and like understanding our bodies for ourselves. So I'm so excited to chat with our guests today who are going to talk about sort of their work and their journeys and the evolution of this kind of trendy hormone
yeah, the
topic.
Spectrum of hormonal health. So let's not give it away. Let's let
not.
Them in. Oh, no. Let's do what we do. Let's let them introduce themselves the way they want us to know them.
We're going to live this one out loud.
My
My name is Jess Sukan, and I'm the founder of Body Bliss by Jess, but I also work in partnership with my family business, with my beautiful mom here, and my sister, who are both co-founders. And, you know, I guess, how do I want to be known in the world? I really just pride myself on helping women to better connect with their own bodies and to really tune in and to learn about the four phases of their menstrual cycle so that they can understand themselves on a deeper level, but also have more compassion for themselves and more understanding for the ebbs and flows that happen throughout the course of our menstrual cycle. And at the same time, I love to empower women of all ages to understand their hormones and how they can support from a place of balanced nutrition that's not restrictive, from a place of mindful movement that's enjoyable and also going to help them with graceful aging and, you know, self-care, smart supplementation, and just a really well-rounded holistic approach that breaks away from the extremes, from, you know, yo-yo dieting and diet culture, which is something that I did for over 12 years, and really allows them to come back home to their bodies and improve the way that they feel from the inside out, understanding that hormones rule, as my mom always says. And so it's important to have an understanding for what our hormones are, the role that they play in our bodies, and also having a deep understanding of the importance of nutrition and how it really does nourish us, not just physically and emotionally, but mentally too. So,
I love that. That's phenomenal. All right, mom, we gotta let you give the same. How do you want to be known? Tell us who you are. We now know you're Jess's mom. That's a giveaway. But
yeah,
but
that's my first name, my first role.
That's all you need to know.
baby number one, Candace Birch. I am an educator, and I would like to be known as a sort of shaker and mover in the world of hormonal health, because I think women are missing out on the benefits of using hormone, you know, of understanding what their hormones do. We didn't get this in sex ed. We didn't have sex ed in school, did we? I had home economics, I was making aprons, I think, and cooking. What? I mean, where did we learn about hormones? Where did we learn about our cycles? When did we ever get this? Was it in high school? Was it in college? Well, now's the time. And I've been talking about this for 25 years. I was the director of education at one of the biggest hormone testing labs in the country. And I got that job because I called them out of desperation and said, I'm a woman in menopause with young children. I started late and I want to learn how to balance my hormones because I'm scaring my kids. And I got an interview with this lab that needed an educator, and that's what I'd been doing for the 10 years previous, helping people maintain their health and prevent disease. And I went in and interviewed with the founder of the company, Dr. David Zava, biochemist, breast cancer researcher. I promptly had a hot flash, or maybe two or three in a row, and he said, "You're hired." But in that time, that was when integrative medicine and functional medicine was exploding. People were rebelling against the old school approach of one size fits all. Yes. Women were demanding to be heard and insisting that people listen. And by the way, that's still a problem. So I listen and I talk and I'm on the soapbox all the time telling women, you have a right to be heard. You can balance, you know, there's such a thing as hormone imbalance and there's such a thing as balance. And if you want to get back to you and feeling like yourself and protecting yourself as you age, you know, I often say women didn't live much past 50 100 years ago. Now we're living to be 80, 85, 90, and even old. I just talked to a woman who has three people in her family who are over 100.
Wow. Those are some good genes.
It's very important to understand these are fundamental body components that we can't really do without. So we need to understand what they do, and that's what I'm all about.
So you're a mother and a daughter who are working together, which I think my mother and I would probably kill each other if we were working together.
I definitely
but you're
have
working
mine.
Together on the same, sort of on the same campaign, coming at it from different angles. Obviously, Jess incorporates, you know, nutrition and, you know, a lot of other sort of important self-care, self-love rituals into what she's doing. And Candace, you sound a little more, I don't want to say academic because you're not cold, dry and academic, but you're an educator. So how do you, how does that relationship work with the two of you? How do you balance your different styles, your different perspectives, your different life experiences?
Well, I can start off by saying that the day I turned 50, Jessie got her period.
Wow. I love that opener.
So she was 13 and I was, and from that day on, I think this relationship began probably. And we have definitely had our ups and downs, and Jessie always talks about, you know, she talks about things that she did that I didn't even know that she was doing, like, you know, yo-yo dieting, which she'll talk about, and binging and not eating, and, you know, the birth control, all of those things that I was sort of, some of it I was unaware of, and some of it I was, you know, trying not to be a complete nag, but I had my views about going natural and doing, you know, my anti-birth control views, etc. But, you know, my girls really, there was a period where they didn't listen and they had to become themselves. You know, we know that in order to become yourself, you've got to rebel, mm-hmm. right? So I understood that, and I think what, just as they got older and I left the job at ZRT Laboratory after many years, because I wanted to set out on my own so that I could talk to women, the women that we were helping through the hormone testing and the education that I was doing, but I wasn't actually talking to women. I was in a building in meetings, right. You know, doing all that stuff as an executive and not really, and I just had this yearning to listen to women and hear what they were saying and what they're, and even now today, when I'm consulting with women, I just did 3 consults right before this podcast, and every one of these women are still confused and not understanding what their hormones do and not knowing what's happening to them. You know, it's really just, it's an important thing. And when the girls finally got into their own issues, which Jess can talk about, they started wanting to learn more. And they kind of came around, and, you know, whereas I always say they used to run screaming from the room, now we're all
screaming in the room
together.
You know, our family motto, our family motto was all drama all the time. I was a single mom with 2 daughters, and we called ourselves the House of Hormones. So I completely get it.
Great.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, I have fond memories of, even though, definitely when we got a little bit older in high school, it was like, Mom, you know, we're at the family dinner table. I don't want to talk about hormones again. You know, if my mood is low, it's not because it's a vitamin D deficiency or my cortisol.
Yes, it was.
And it was like, no, I'm just having a bad mood. What, you know, where are you in your cycle? And it's like, I don't know. And just really impatient. And
I did not always talk about hormones at dinner.
You did quite a bit, but quite a bit. I don't think you even realize how much you talked about it, because you've always just been, and this is what Ryan and I love about you too, is that you're so passionate about this that I don't think you even realize sometimes she'll find a connection. Somehow we're talking about something that has nothing to do with hormones, and she will make that connection, and it is a skill. But
there's always a connection.
Yeah, we would be, there's always a connection. We would be really impatient with her. But at the same time, you know, at the second that we felt like we were coming down with the flu, or we hurt ourselves, or we just weren't feeling good, the only place we wanted to be was home, because our mom just seemed like this like magician, and she would open up her naturopathic books and she would be looking up, you know, our symptoms, and she would come out with some myriad of tinctures and tell us to open our mouths, and we'd be putting this tincture in and that tincture and, you know, making some homemade meal for us and making sure that we laid down and rested and had water and was just the ultimate caretaker. But my mom has also always demonstrated balance. We could have cookies after dinner. We had a sweet day on Fridays. We weren't restricted. So my restriction didn't come from the way that I was raised, because I think that we always had balance. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Well, let's hear a little bit about your story, Jess.
I really got into the world of, you know, this multi-million, probably billion-dollar industry of dieting that profits so much off of people's insecurities when I was in high school. And I had always been very thin. I had always been very active. I was on the swim team. I played volleyball. We ate super healthy meals from home. But the second that I quit the sports and I was a senior in high school and I started wanting to go off campus with my friends to get Taco Bell and Starbucks and whatever, I immediately, it felt like it was overnight, put on like 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. And
felt terrible about yourself.
I started taking diet pills after school with my friend and trying not to eat on them. I would research different diets like Atkins and South Beach and buy the books. And, you know, it really started on about, that really propelled me into about 12 years of yo-yo dieting. And there was times where I was a little bit more balanced and not as neurotic about it, but I became very neurotic. I became very uptight. It was pretty bad for my mental health, but I was so insecure in my body and really just wanted to be thin and fit in and be accepted. But I also wanted to be able to go drinking with my friends on the weekends in college.
It's tough how society sets us up that way, right? You're supposed to be able to do both and not pay the price.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it kind of started this binge restrict mentality where it was like Monday through Friday, perfect, you know, Saturday through Sunday binging, but always having the comfort of knowing you have a diet coming on Monday. It's okay. You can just get back to your diet on Monday. You can just work out. So it wasn't until I kind of got to this rock bottom place. I had very severe migraine headaches. This was when I was like 29, that I decided, okay, I got to go back to my roots. I need to ask my mom to support me in, you know, transitioning off hormonal birth control, testing my hormones, figuring out where my levels are and rebalancing naturally.
How did you come to the realization that that was your way out?
I think I started doing research and it just kind of was like this light bulb of, these are all the things that mom has been talking about, you know, our whole upbringing, and I'm having all of these symptoms. And I think I knew it for a long time, but it wasn't until I got the debilitating migraine headaches that literally I had to take a little bit of a leave of absence from work because I could not work. They were so bad. I think it was like, we all have to get to that extreme point at some point in our journey. And that was kind of my extreme where it was like, okay, I'm ready to make a change. And I was just really scared of shining the light on, you need to eat more. You need to reintroduce a carb. You need to dial back on exercise. Like, you really have to look at your habits. Stop drinking 5 cups of coffee a day on an empty stomach. Mm. And it's really hard because I knew I would have to change my lifestyle. Mm. And I would also have to figure out a non-hormonal form of birth control, which seemed like a lot of work. So it was all of those things. But of course, the second that I reached out to her.
I want to ask your mom a question. Yeah, because so I, when I went to college, my freshman year, I gained probably 20 pounds, felt awful about myself, and was bulimic my freshman year of college. And I sort of got through it myself. And I remember a few years later on a podcast, I think, talking about it and my mom saying, oh my God, I didn't know. Why didn't you come to me? Now, I didn't want to disappoint her. I didn't want her to see that I had failed or I was struggling, or so I know why I didn't, and it wasn't that she wouldn't have been empathetic. I'm sure she would have been. But Candace, can you talk to me about, you know, here you are, this educator, and you find out your own daughter is, and maybe you already knew, is struggling. Can you just talk from a mom's perspective on how you felt and how you dealt with it? And I'm sure it wasn't, I told you so.
No, well, I remember one of the hallmarks of this whole thing was that I had to actually get up my courage to say to Jess, because I was really concerned about the weight gain. Mm-hmm. I'd noticed that over the summer she had gained what you're saying it was 35 pounds. It probably was about that much.
In high school. To her,
Yeah. And I said to her, Jess, you know, I feel like you've gained a lot of weight in a very short amount of time, in a very short period of time. And she got very upset. She started crying and screaming, Mom, you're saying I'm fat. Mm. And I think, and you know, she just kind of ran to her room and she was in tears. And we've had conversations about it because I think I didn't put it in the right way. I maybe didn't say it as well as I just described. But I think I've been thinking about it for so long that finally I just blurted it out. And so we had to recover from that because I think you were kind of angry at me for a while, Jess. You were really hurt by that. Yeah. You didn't trust me. And we've had to rebuild the trust from that because it was my other daughter, Ryan, told me, well, Mom, you didn't exactly say it in the right way. And I think I probably didn't. But, I mean, we've come a long way from that because there were things like I think it was really when you stopped getting your period. I think you lost your period for a couple of years and that became sort of a dire situation. And it was so obviously a hormonal thing that that's when we started having a dialogue, and my suggestions for that worked. And so I think it was the fact that certain things worked, the kind of things that I was suggesting, going back to the basics, you know, brought the results that you needed. And you were doing your own research along the way because it was all fitting. It was like, you know, there's a great book out there called the Mom's Survival Guide to the Teenage Hormone Takeover. It's an important book by Nisha Jackson. It's the only one out there. But many of the moms that I talk to are just flummoxed by, you know, here's your little girl, you're holding hands and you do everything together and suddenly she's a teen and she's slamming her bedroom door in your face and you just don't know where to go. So, you know, I'm happy that we
got through it.
But I wouldn't say that the teen years were easy in that way. And we certainly didn't arrive at this point until the girls were well into their, I don't know, 20s or so and in college and starting to wrestle with symptoms that really take hold as you get older and especially compounded by these bad habits that are so cultivated in college and all the pressure, as you said, to do both. To look great, be thin, be fit,
be
you know,
social,
awesome,
go to the party,
way.
Go drinking,
stay out all
do
night,
all of the things.
And do well in your
go get a burrito,
do well in your grades. But somehow, I mean, I wouldn't say this hasn't been smooth sailing. We've had our struggles, and I think we, for the most part, we've had a pretty happy, smooth family life. But this area has been difficult, and it's. But we have certainly recovered ourselves, and now we've gone from strength to strength, where we're so much on the same page that, you know, I'm learning from Jess. In fact, some of the things that she is so knowledgeable about, like cycle syncing and fertility awareness method, I just let her do the talking because for me that ship has sailed, you know. So we're a great duo in terms of when you talk about balance, we really can balance each other knowledge wise and I think emotionally we're a great team.
All right. So you just threw out a term that's probably way more familiar to Ariel than it is for me. But Jess, cycle syncing, what is it?
Yeah. So cycle syncing is basically aligning your nutrition, your workouts, your self-care, and even your supplementation perhaps with the four phases of the menstrual cycle. So a normal cycle can be anywhere between about 24 days and 36 days. Anything outside of that, especially if it comes accompanied with hormonal symptoms, is something to look into further and could be indicative of a hormonal imbalance. But there's these four different phases. So we've got the menstrual phase, which is the obvious one that most women know of. I would think every woman knows of it, which is when we are bleeding, when we have our period. And then when our period ends, we move into the follicular phase. And that phase is about 7 to 10 days long. There's an increase in follicle stimulating hormone to help the eggs in the follicles start to mature. And then once we hit ovulation, that is the fertile phase. And it's actually quite incredible how few people actually know that you can only get pregnant during the ovulatory phase, which lasts about up to 6 days. There's the 1 day of ovulation, and there is up to 5 days that sperm can survive inside of us via peak cervical fluid. And then after the ovulatory phase ends, there's an uptick in our basal body temperature, and that's when we move into the luteal phase, which is the fourth and final phase. The luteal phase can be broken up into early and late luteal. The early luteal phase, you're still going to get that big spike in progesterone as well as another spike in estrogen. But then the late luteal phase is when both of those hormone levels, all hormone levels, start to drop. And that's that premenstrual week that can come along with a lot of symptoms, you know, having a little bit fuller breasts, being a little bit more tired, being a bit hungrier, wanting to go more inward. That's all normal. But having debilitating fatigue, having really painful breasts, having migraine headaches, having super intense cravings or cystic acne, none of that is normal. And it's a sign that your hormones need some TLC. So once we kind of understand the ebbs and flows of how our hormones are fluctuating throughout the cycle, then we can understand our bodies on a deeper level, tune in, and start to draw connections like, oh, I'm super hungry the week before my period. It's not that I lack willpower. It's that my metabolism has increased, and this is my body's way of saying I need more fuel. So we can start to align some of our nutritional habits, our exercise habits, and even our self-care, how we are in the workplace, boundaries that we set around what's happening with our hormones. So I just think it's pretty amazing, and it can be definitely game-changing for women.
That's a lot of new information for me. And Candace, I want to sort of get a similar thing from you. You were just on the phone before we got on this podcast, counseling three women about three different things, but three, you know, important things. If you could speak to our audience right now and tell them three things they really should know that you as an educator find the most common questions and needs, maybe misperceptions, but what would those three things be that occupy so much of your time as an educator and teacher and mover and shaker?
Okay, before I get into that, I just want to say, isn't this amazing to have a daughter who I can learn from? And how we want to be known in the world is that we're changing the dialogue around this. We are changing the dialogue.
You're starting a dialogue that has been missing.
The dialogue. And I think one of the most important things is, as Jesse was saying, things that are common but are not normal. And that knowing those symptoms, symptom awareness is number one. Knowing the symptoms of hormone imbalance, that there is such a thing as a hormone, there is a condition of hormonal imbalance. It's not a silent condition. There are hot flashes and night sweats that should wake you right up to that fact. And they're not the province of just older women, by the way. I think the second thing is that you can test for hormonal imbalance. And it is not just testing your FSH and LH when you think you're in menopause. It is younger women, women of all ages who have symptoms that are disrupting their lives, especially with younger women who are using birth control as a default. I think that would be the third thing too, that birth control has become the default for symptoms of hormonal imbalance. And I've talked to women that are in their late 40s and 50s who are still on birth control. And in the case of like 52% of women who are on birth control, they're not even using it for contraceptive purposes. So I would say the three things are knowing that there is such a thing as hormonal imbalance and that there are symptoms that can clue you in, that you can test for them, and that the testing can be non-invasive. In fact, we're in the saliva camp because saliva is the gold standard for measuring stress hormones, which are just as important to measure as are the sex hormones together. They need to be measured together. So you can know your symptoms, become aware. We have a great symptom quiz on our website, Your Hormone Balance, so you can see how likely it is that you have an imbalance. Become aware, get tested, and know that there are options that are natural that can bring about relief and health. You know, we're talking about prevention of of symptoms and symptoms that lead to disorders and disease down the road.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
That's,
and I think that's,
go ahead, Ariel.
I was just going to say, I love this so much, and I'm sort of at an opposite point in my journey with this than Anne described, where I have been on hormonal birth control for half my life at this point, and I'm just coming off of it right now. And the biggest hindrance to me doing that was that I was scared of, oh, there's no other way to not get pregnant. Like, if you have sex, no matter when or where, like, I'm obviously going to get pregnant. And that's kind of, I think, a fear that a lot of us have. And I did
and
have health
just
class.
Debunked that.
Yeah. she did. And in health class, that was sort of what the message was, at least at my health class. And I live in California.
Well, you know, to be fair, I was first in line for birth control back in the 60s. And, you know, who doesn't want to have some control over that? Who doesn't want to maybe live with their boyfriend and not have a baby right away? And, you know, and the birth control back then was really strong stuff. And we haven't really had good options until very recently. But Jesse's talking about cycle syncing, which was brought to the fore by Alyssa Vitti, who wrote Woman Code, brilliant woman who's, you know, opened this whole topic up. That hasn't been available to us. We haven't had fertility trackers. How recent are those? You might know, Jess. We've only had the non-hormonal options have been the diaphragm, which is not always reliable, and the IUD, the copper IUD, is the only non-hormonal, and a lot of women have a problem with that, especially nulliparous women who've never been pregnant. It can be really painful upon insertion. So we haven't, you know, it's okay, Ariel, you haven't had that many options. Now you do, though.
Yes.
Now you do, which is great.
Yes. Well, and this is what I'm learning, and I, you know, I listened to, Jess was kind enough to send me her podcast. She has her own podcast, and I learned so much from listening to just two episodes, I think, to the point where I felt
amazing.
Yeah, I know, really, like, I want to say thank you, because I not only felt more informed, but I actually feel so much more empowered that I can actually take control and understand my own body. And that's, I think, what we're talking about here is the hope and the real shift going on with certainly my generation and then the younger generations. That's bleeding into all, but we want to be our own advocates. We want to make our own healthcare decisions. So I'm wondering, both of you, like, now that this shift is happening and you've obviously had a huge impact on it, where do you see health and healthcare going in, let's say, like, 20 years? Like, I don't know. I just want to know, like, what your hope is for this movement that's happening now.
Mom, you'll have a lot of opinions on this, but I think it's going to be really hard to, in 20 years, even for pharmaceutical companies, we'll still be pumping out prescriptions like crazy. Western doctors will still be prescribing them because it's a huge industry and a lot of money is made from it. But I do see there being a changing, Ariel, to your point, in people being more empowered and educated so that when they go to their doctor, they can ask the right questions. Mm-hmm. And they can advocate more for themselves instead of just saying, like, oh, okay, I'll just take what you're giving me. Oh, I have painful periods. I need birth control. Okay. Oh, I'll just get a hysterectomy. You know, I'll do whatever you're saying. I'll do it. Yeah. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I think we look to doctors as, wow, you've had so many years of education. I trust you. And it's not to say that doctors can't be trusted. I've had dire situations where I am so grateful to my doctors and medical team for what they've been able to support me in. But when it comes to, like, your OBGYN and just, you know, going to a primary care doctor for these issues, it just seems like it is just, here are these are the symptoms, here's a prescription. And so I think that we're going to be a lot more empowered and be a lot more educated because there will be more educators out there. When we started our family business 7 years ago, there wasn't, even just 7 years ago, there wasn't nearly the amount of people that, especially my age, that are talking about this. Cycle syncing was really not talked about at all. Instagram was, I mean, now you can go on Instagram and it's, you can find hundreds, thousands of hormone health practitioners right. and nutritionists and health coaches. And, you know, one of our dreams is, and actually we hope to do this in the next couple of years, is to create a course that women can take with their children so that they can learn together when the children are young and, you know, what's going on with my body? What is my period? What does it mean? How can I support myself? How can I support my mom, understanding what she's going through, the transitions yeah. that happen at these different ages? And it's crazy because something like that, to our knowledge, doesn't even exist. We've looked for it mm-hmm. and it doesn't. And better education in schools too, so that there is a legitimate sex ed class where you actually learn the fertile window, yes. you know? So
I love that. I think that's so cool because, you know, when you're a parent and you are given this baby and you're like, really, your hospital, you're trusting me to take home this baby and to, you know what to do when we don't know what to do. My whole life as a mother, I felt like, mm-hmm. where's the manual? And so the fact mm-hmm. that you would do a mother-daughter educational class, mm-hmm. series of sessions together, you're also giving moms the tools mm-hmm. to say the right thing. So it's not, wow, you gained a lot of weight lately and you aren't speaking for 2 years. Well, you know, no one tells us these things. So I think that's just really smart insight that you're educating both at the same time.
Thank you.
We can't let you go without our rapid fire session, which is we just want quick one word answers of whatever comes top of both your minds. This is Arielle's special sauce. Special
you can say more than one word. You can say more than
podcast.
One word. But
it can be a
first
sentence.
Thing.
It
top
can
of
be
mind.
A phrase.
Yeah. Top but of mind.
Boom, boom,
so
boom.
If you're ready, well, what I'll do, I'll ask the question and then who wants to go first? We'll have one of you go first every time and then the other one.
You go first, Jess.
Okay.
First baby.
First question, introvert or extrovert?
Ambivert.
Ambivert. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'd say ambivert also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cuties, same.
Another another inherited thing.
Yes,
double ambivert.
Maybe
we're very social, but we definitely need our alone time.
I don't know what that's like, but I'm happy you know that. Okay, next question. What do you wish people knew about you?
I used to be deathly shy. I don't think I wish people knew that about me, but I used to be deathly shy, and maybe I do wish people knew that about me because it is a pretty big accomplishment, I would say, or hurdle to jump past, to be that shy and to break out of it and to work with people in the public eye and speak on podcasts.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Valid.
Let's see. What do I wish people knew about me?
You're 75 and no one believes it.
I would never believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. Thank
you,
Jess.
I never would have thought. Okay. What's the perfect snack?
Oh, popcorn and a protein latte together.
Ooh. Okay. Sassy. I like that.
I like apple and nut butter. Sort of slices of apple with nut butter and maybe some cinnamon on top. I think sprinkling cinnamon on everything is a good thing. Mm. Helps to control blood sugar.
I agree. Yeah. What is your favorite phase of the menstrual cycle?
Ovulatory, because you're making all that progesterone and it's calming and it helps you sleep. It's lovely.
And you got so much energy. It's great for traveling. Sorry. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Almost done. What's the hardest lesson the world keeps putting in front of you?
To be able to wish those people that you find unbearable, wish them well. Wish them to be happy so that they will spread better vibes than they are currently spreading.
Love it.
That's
a great one.
I think For me, one thing that I've struggled with and I've gotten so much better, but is just coming to terms with the fact that I can't please everybody and that especially when it comes like friends, family, but also clients, I'm not going to be able to make everybody happy and to transform everybody's lives. So just have to come to terms with that. And that's hard for me sometimes because I care a lot. I care
bending over backwards. Yeah,
that's so clear.
Yeah.
You know, I love that you continue to learn something new, no matter how old you are, what you've been through. I mean, and they're learning from each other, which is super cool.
I love that.
When I grew up, it was, you know, medicine, the pill or antibiotics or whatever were the only option. They're still good options for sure, but there are so many more and we understand so much more. And I love the idea that in addition to, and for some people instead of, taking medication, you can find other ways to sort of sink your body to be its healthiest, best self. And that there's this mother-daughter team championing that. That was pretty cool. I learned a lot.
I totally agree. And I think it's amazing that especially on something where the generational background that you come from, I think influences your perspective so much that they can find a way to say, hey, I've got my views. You've got yours. We meet in the middle. We agree on a lot. But there were definitely still like, you know, you could tell like, I don't know, just like, so, you know, a little more open than the other about certain things. And I just know that if my mom and I were doing this, it would not go well. It would not go well. So I admire them. And
oh, my mom and I would be, I think we'd be pretty much in sync with all of this. But, you know, luckily it's our bodies, hopefully forever our choices, although less and less certain about that. And so I'm glad to have advocates, super glad to have advocates like them. With us to remind us that we can control things in more ways than we think we can. So let's do that.
Let's do that. And I love that we get to learn from every guest that rolls on up on our show and at Parlay House as well, where these conversations really got inspired by. And I mean,
totally.
Yeah,
we hope they're going to join us at Parlay House in LA, which is where they spend most of their time. But, you know, we have these live gatherings everywhere. We have virtual conversations every other week. We have Bring a Friend podcast, which you're already tuned into. So we hope you'll go online, check us out at parlayhouse.com. And we hope you'll show up again next week when we have another amazing conversation. And when you do, we hope you'll bring a friend.
Do it. If it seems life is heavy, just pull up a seat. I've been looking for someone to meet. I've got stories I could talk about. I believe in the beautiful words that you speak. Tell me secrets, I'll keep you carefully. You got stories you could talk about. Stories you got. Ooh, what story to talk about? Ooh, what story to talk about? We're gonna live this one out loud.